Welcome back to the Think It Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson, and I'm excited to be here again with you this week for another episode of the show. And pretty cool because we've had 2 weeks back to back. We're normally on every other Wednesday, but because we had a technical difficulty, we get a special treat. And so I'm really excited about being here with you guys. And so a couple of things. We had a listener who reached out to us, and I'm saying this because I'm always talking about the text line, you know, the 248-301-2010. You can always text that line if you have show topic suggestions or questions, feedback, any of that stuff. And we had a listener that reached out to us in regards to a couple of topics and was asking if we're going to cover these topics at some point. And I just, you know, I want to talk about these topics just briefly. Just want to mention them because I'm sure there's a lot of you out there who have topics that you're like, hey, are you guys doing these or have you ever thought about doing it? You know, we had somebody, you know, reach out to us also in regards to the Balenciaga situation. And not sure if we're going to get to that one yet because we have so much on deck as far as shows are concerned. And so, and by us being every other week, we don't get the content out as fast as we would like. And so it you know, causes content to come out slower. So, but just so you know, some of the upcoming shows in the future, we will be talking about, because this listener was asking if we'll ever talk about Bethel. And kind of some of the controversy around Bethel Church. Most of you guys know Bethel as, Bethel Music. If you don't know the church, you know the music. Jen Johnson, Brian Johnson, Stephanie Frizzle. You've got, I mean, just so many different people in that arena there. And so Amanda Cook. I'm just trying to think of some of the other people. I think William Matthews used to be a part of them as well. And he's split off in a totally different situation now. But there has been a lot of controversy surrounding that church. And yes, I am well aware. I have been studying and listening and all kinds of things for years. And so I have some things to say there. We will be doing a show on that at some point in the future. I don't know exactly when at the moment, but we will be covering Bethel Church, their beliefs, some of the things that they've talked about and espoused over the years. Some of the controversial things. And then they were wondering if we would ever cover near-death experiences. Yes, that is something that's on our docket as well. We will be covering that. You know, books like Heaven Is For Real, The Boy That Went, I believe the name of the book is The Boy That Went to Heaven or The Boy That Came Back from Heaven. We will be talking about both of those books. And given our analysis based on biblical truth. Again, none of this stuff is going to be based on our opinions or any of that stuff, but it's just based on what the Bible actually says. And we'll read the scriptures here on air and read some excerpts from those books. And I think you will understand a little bit more or a little bit better when it comes to near-death experiences. Should you really believe that or shouldn't you? You know, what does that look like? Are these things real that people are going through and they come back and say, hey, I went to heaven or I came back from hell and all of these different things, you know, or I had this crazy experience. And for a lot of people, it changes their lives in some kind of way. And so are those things actually real? And if they are, is it biblical? Right. And so we're going to talk about that. And these are things that people have asked me all through the years. I mean, I have gotten so many questions about Bethel and, you know, Heaven Is For Real, that book, and near-death experiences and all of that. Also, we're going to be doing a show or shows on the teachings of Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is one of the largest, if not the one of the largest voices in the Christendom today. His messages in church is pumped all over the world, not just here in America, but in Africa and Asia, just everywhere. Everywhere. I don't know too many people that don't know Joel Osteen. And I think there's times when I have met people that don't even call themselves Christian or really followers of Christ. But if somebody says, hey, I listen to a preacher on the radio or I listen to a preacher on television, 9 times out of 10, in my experience, it's been Joel Osteen. And so we are going to dive deep into Joel Osteen's theology, some of his books, some of the things that he espouses, and I think it's important. I truly do. And so I think you have a really good understanding as we take his messages, and some of the things that he writes in his books, and just line that up with scripture, so that you can see, should or should we not support, people with his theology. Now, I don't normally, you never hear me on the air, specifically, talking about a person. And one of the reasons why I don't do that is because I am not interested in attacking people. Like that, I'm sure people wonder, well, how come you don't talk about these pastors who fall from grace and are, are kicked out of their churches or asked to step down or go on sabbatical and all of that? Guys, I'm not interested in that. They're but for the grace of God, there go I, right? I'm trying to live my own race and trying to do what God has called me to do. And there are people out there who examine those things. They talk about them. They write and blog on them. They podcast about them, and I fully support that. I think it's needed to a certain extent. That is just not what God's called me to do. Now, I am not saying that it'll never ever happen if something comes up and I feel really the need to do it, but you're not going to most likely hear me covering that kind of thing because I just don't. It's just not something that I feel like I should do. I want to make sure that I use my time on the air based on things that God has placed in my heart, what I feel like God is calling me to do. And so that's why sometimes you don't hear that. But when it comes to teachings, theology, different things like that, I will name people because I think it's very important that we understand. And it's not about the person. It's about what is being espoused. It's about what is being preached or their theology. And so I think that is important, but we are not here or interested on this show to bash people personally by any stretch of the imagination. That is not what God wants, and we are not going to do that. And also, we'll be talking about on an upcoming show the prosperity gospel in detail. That's something that I have studied for a very long time, many years, the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. So is it God's will for us to be healthy and well and, have tremendous wealth here on earth? Is it God's will to always heal this side of heaven? Why aren't some people healed? All the kind of things, the name it, claim it, manifestation movements, the word of faith movement. movements. You know, people have, you know, I'm sure have come to you before and said, hey, you know, you didn't get that because you didn't have enough faith, or you weren't healed because you didn't have enough faith. Whatever the case may be, there's a lot of things like that. And I do certainly want to talk about those things, and we will. We'll do those in depth, and we'll see what the Bible actually says about those things. And so that'll be some things coming up. And there's a host of other things there. Like I say, there are also guests and stuff that we want to have on. And I think you're going to be blessed by the guests that will be coming on as well. And so, but I wanted just to say that, because I know some of you out there, you're thinking like, hey, I have, and look, if you have a topic or a suggestion, please. This person also asked about tithing. They want to talk, they ask us, you know, about tithing. So we'll talk about that at some point as well. And, you know, there's so many things, but if you've got a show topic suggestion, reach out to us, 248-301-2010. Just text that line. We will, if it's not already on the list, we can add it to the list. Okay. And if our list gets too long, I might start incorporating answering one or two questions at the beginning or end of the show. And it could not be related to the show, but it's just a question corner. And, you know, as long as I feel like I can do it justice, the answer justice, in about 5 to 15 or so minutes. Some things just take longer explanations. You dig into the scripture and we really need to unpack it. So anyways, enough about all of that. I just wanted to talk with you guys a little bit about that. But here's the thing. I want to jump back into our journey together. And we started a new series last week, and talking about sanctification and the life you've always wanted. I just love this topic. I think it is one of the most important things in a Christian's life, is to understand, know, accept, and embrace the process of sanctification in our lives. Because let's face it, guys, we should be growing. We, you know, there is no time in a Christian's life where they should be stagnant, where they should be lackadaisical, where they should be, you know, just sitting, right? We should always be working on our relationship with God and our relationship with others, and doing everything that we can to become more like Christ. And I truly believe the way this happens is through the process of sanctification. This is where it is, right? And while we're in this series, we're going to bust some of the myths that have been permeating through the church as a whole. You know, there's a lot of weird teachings about sanctification, about what it looks like and all of that. But we are going to talk about what the Bible actually says about sanctification. And so this week, there are a couple of things that we want to talk about. And I appreciate you going through this journey with us. And so let's start off with this. You know, in the beginning of the last show, I believe it was, I talked a little bit about how some churches, some pastors, some bloggers, what have you, when they talk about sanctification, it's a very rules-based sanctification, right? It's do this, don't do that, go here, don't go there, watch this, don't watch that, listen to this, don't listen to that. I mean, it's all about rules. And a lot of times what happens in a person's life is they begin to think that if they, quote, follow the rules, they will then be good enough for God, or they will be good or better, right? And what ends up happening is they end up getting sometimes in this legalistic bondage of, well, if I do this, God's going to love me. Well, if I do that, then, you know, I'm better. I'm closer to God. Or if I don't do this, I'm better, or I get closer to God, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, a lot of that is just not true, you know, and we're going to see that in this, you know, as we go through this episode. One of the things I think what happens in denominations, and like I told you, I grew up in the UPCI. And so, you know, that was and we'll most likely talk about that in depth at some point. I am still debating on whether I want to do that. But for the sake of this conversation, I'll say a little bit. You know, one of the things about denominations that really major on the minors and call it sanctification, a lot of times what happens is people begin to think because they do certain things or they don't do certain things that somehow they're better than other denominations or better than other Christians, right? And if you were to talk to them, they would say, oh, no, I don't think that. Oh, I don't think that. You know, but, you know, I've been in denominations like that. I have been in churches for a good portion of my life growing up where it was like, well, we have the truth. We're the ones that have the corner on the truth. Those churches over there, we don't associate with those churches because they don't have the truth. And if somebody didn't agree with us, it was the fact that, well, they just weren't up to all the truth. Once they understand the truth, then they will think totally different. And really what it was is they had their own prescription of what they thought made you sanctified or gave you salvation. It was their prescription. It wasn't the biblical way. Right? Now, they use scripture to make it seem that way, but it simply was not biblical, some of the things that they were saying. And so I think we have to be very careful as Christians not to get ourselves into this thing when we talk about sanctification, that we make it this rules-based thing. It's not about the rules. It truly is the sweet work of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And do you become better as a person? Yes. You don't become perfect, but you do become better as a person. Does that mean you become better than others who maybe, you know, don't see things the way you see it or whatever? Absolutely not. We are all on the same level when our knees are bowed at the foot of the cross. Every single one of you that are under the sound of my voice, I don't care what denomination you're in. You could be Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Lutheran. It doesn't matter. We all, our righteousness, our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags to God. We don't have any righteousness. The only righteousness that we can possess is the righteousness through Christ and Christ alone. That's all the righteousness that we have. And so I want to look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 through 20, right? Rules don't make us good. Sanctification is not about the rules that make us good. Only God is good, right? Listen to what Mark 10, 17 through 20 says. Verse 17 says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Listen to what Jesus says. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Verse 19, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony. You should not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And this young man, this rich young ruler, he said, teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Now, I'm going to pause there. So this young man is approaching Jesus, and he realizes that Jesus is a teacher, right? He's kind of looking at him as like almost like a rabbi, right? And he's like, teacher, you know, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, I love Jesus so much. Like, if you look at the Gospels and you look at how Jesus interacted with people, it really gives you a good idea of how we can interact with people, right? Jesus always used wisdom. He was very smart and strategic when he talked to people, right? And so Jesus says, why are you calling me good, right? There is no one good except God alone. And so when we flip this over to sanctification, this process that God works in us, right? Remember, we said that the definition of sanctification is to cleanse, to wash, to set aside, or to consecrate oneself for a special purpose. Now, here's what we have to understand. When it comes to sanctification, and we talked about all the things that changes when we embrace the sanctification process in our lives, right? We talked about how the sanctification makes positive changes in our minds. It causes us to see and embrace the truth about life and our identity. Remember we talked about that? And if you're listening to this show and you haven't listened to the first episode of sanctification, I strongly urge you to do so, because I'm doing this intentionally in a certain order, because it's so important for you to first understand what sanctification is and then understand how this is applied every day to your life. And so as we talk about this, and this rich young ruler saying, hey, teacher, good teacher, what must I do and inherit eternal life? And Jesus turns around and he goes, why do you call me good, man? Why are you calling me good? There's no one good but one. And so even Jesus himself says, I'm not good. My Father is good. And I want to challenge you as we talk through sanctification and as we talk through what this would look like in your life. Right? There is no good here that you can do on your own. The good that comes through sanctification, it comes through our reliance, our total reliance on the Holy Spirit. Right? And this is why self-help books, it can't get you there. This is why self-esteem can't get you there. This is why all the things that you could do on your own will never ever get you there, because there is no way that you in and of yourself can be good, right? This is why we talked about last time loving your enemies. You said, many of you, and I'm also teaching this series on my Tuesday night Bible class. And, you know, it was funny because I was teaching the part like I did last week on the show about loving your enemies. And we really think we've got it. We really think we have it until we read this, what the scripture in 1 Corinthians about what real love is about, right? We think we're good with our enemies. I don't hate them. Well, I pray for them every once in a while. I don't like so-and-so, but I pray for him or her, right? Right? But the Bible really flips that on its head, because when Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, that's an action. That's an action step. He didn't say passively love them. He said, do good to them. And then you read that love is patient and love is kind and love is not doesn't envy and love doesn't boast and it's not proud and it's not rude and it's not self-seeking and it's not easily angered and it keeps no accounts of wrong and love takes no pleasure in evil but rejoices in the truth and it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You look at that and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe I don't love my enemies. Right? Because we don't even do that when it comes to our spouses or our children or people that make us upset sometimes that we really do say that we love, right? So in to think that in our own strength, we are going to be good or there is a set of rules. And I want to speak to those who are in bondage right now. You may be in bondage and not understand that. Why is it that some of you that are in denominations where you have a prescription or a litany of rules that you follow, you feel like you have something over other Christians in other denominations? Just examine yourself. Be honest with yourself, right? You feel this sense of, I'll just use for an example. Well, this denomination over here, where the women wear pants. And this denomination that I'm in, we wear skirts and we wear dresses because, at the end of the day, it's about modesty. Right. And you may think like, oh, well, but and it's OK. Let me pause here because I here's what you have to understand. Whether you wear pants or a dress, your focus needs to be Christ. Right. And him sanctifying you. So if you choose to wear a dress, totally fine. If you choose to wear pants, totally fine. Here's what I'm saying. There tends to be a tendency of people who have these rules that they have these rules that they would call sanctification, right? And when they look at those rules, they somehow think because of those rules that they're sanctified. Sweetheart, you are not sanctified because of rules. You are sanctified because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And sometimes that work that's in your heart doesn't even work its way to the outside. Why? Because it is a deep work of the Holy Spirit in your soul. I can't see your soul. Only God can see your soul, right? And so it's very important that we don't get stuck on the rules. And that we get stuck on Christ and what God is speaking to us individually about our own lives, right? So important. This young man, he says, teacher, he declared, all of these things I kept since I was a boy. Now, if you would have looked at that back in the day and you were the third person standing there as Jesus and this rich young ruler were talking, 9 times out of 10, you would have looked at that and you would have said, wow, this is a good guy. I mean, this guy is, I mean, he's top notch. I mean, he has kept all of the commandments ever since he was a kid. But what does Jesus say? Right? Jesus, because he's trying to get into eternal life, or what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he's thinking, for some reason, he's thinking if he just follows the rules, right? If he would just follow the rules, that somehow he's going to inherit eternal life. Here's what you have to understand. Just like he couldn't follow the rules and get eternal life, you can't follow the rules and get sanctification. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, right? It's a denying of yourself, right? It's a consecrating yourself to Christ. It's a obeying the whispers of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit more, right? When we get into some other areas, right? It's about this continual surrender of everything in your life, including your very body, your mind, your spirit. Every single thing is consecrated to God. Here's what you have to understand. Here's what you have to understand. Is that when Jesus heard this young man, he knew that all of those things would not get him into heaven, right? He knew that, right? And we have to understand that all of those things that we list off that we do doesn't make us the outward things, the quote, setting aside things. That's not what makes us sanctified, right? The only way you can even enter this journey of sanctification, truly, and if you're listening to me, you say, oh, Kevin, I think, you know, this is deep. I like this. I this is something I feel like I want to be better, and I want to live that life I've always wanted, right? If you're not saved and you're listening to me right now, which God bless you, if you are not a Christian and you're listening or you're just seeking, God bless you for even considering to listen to anybody that is talking about Christ. This is how that's the way it should be. You don't just say, well, nah, that sounds like a bunch of garbage. I'm not going to even deal with that. Nope. And the Bible says that if you seek him, you will find him, right? So if you're listening to me right now and you're not saved, one of the first steps that needs to happen in your life is that you accept Jesus Christ as the solution to your sin problem. I love that. My pastor says that. So I stole that. Love you, Pastor Dave. Oh, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, that's including me and you, and fall short of the glory of God, right? So none of us are perfect. God sanctifies us because of his goodness, not our own. That's another beauty of sanctification. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Do you see a theme here? Do you see this theme that it's not about you? It's not about what you can do. So just like salvation, you can't, we said this in the last show, that you can't even come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws you. That's what the Bible says, right? So you can't be sanctified unless you allow God to do the work in you. It's not something you're doing, but it's what God does. And I know you might say, Kevin, you're just reiterating this over and over. I really want you to get it. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. So how is it that sanctification works? Well, something you have to understand is sanctification is supernatural. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the natural. It is supernatural. It is 100% the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. This is a deep work, guys. This work is a deep work in your heart and in your soul. This is why. And you know, I am a proponent of counselors. Great profession. I believe more people should go. I think more churches should promote it. I think not enough churches do. I think, you know, people have this taboo thing. If you go to counseling instead of, you know, thinking that something magically is going to happen at the altar. Nope. Some people, they need counseling. But here's what you have to understand. Every single counselor that I know on this planet is human. They're human. They are limited to their training for helping you be a better person, right? Or to get over certain things, right? So whether it's trauma or PTSD or anxiety, depression or marital issues or sexual issues or addictions or whatever the case may be, right? All the things that people go to counselors for, or life coaching and all of these things, right? All of those things are great, but it will never replace the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, because every single thing that is done in a counseling office, it is done by a finite human being. It is done by somebody who is just as finite as you are. And what they're doing is they're going based on the training that they've had to help you get through things, right? And then sometimes people go through counseling and they go, well, it just didn't work. Well, I submit to you that when God created you, he did not create you to be broken. He didn't create you that things just don't work or things don't get better or you can't get over things. Now, there might be times that you might have a physical ailment in your life and you may have it for the rest of your life. But when you get to heaven, you won't. But I'll tell you this, when it comes to that, the mindsets that we can be trapped in, when it comes to all of these other things that we seek help for from another human, I promise you that God wants to change those things in your life right now, right? And it truly is possible. So if you have went to a counselor and you go, I went to a counselor, I feel like it didn't help. I submit to you and I ask you to open yourself up to God, to allow him to start the process of sanctification in your life. Because a lot of times people will find that one of the reasons why they're not getting better, really reasons why they can't get over certain personality issues and things that they say, well, that's just who I am. All of these things, it's because the Holy Spirit hasn't been allowed to work sanctification in our lives. Right? 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, remember, the point that I'm making right now is sanctification is supernatural. There's nothing that can happen in the natural that will ever supersede sanctification because it's supernatural, right? Think about it this way, right? If you look at, like, Steve Jobs, or you look at helped start Microsoft, Bill Gates. Okay, you look at these two gentlemen, and I'll just take Steve Jobs for example. And I understand he's passed away, but when he created the iPhone, somebody going up to Steve Jobs and telling Steve Jobs how to work the phone and how it really shouldn't be used for a phone, it should be used for something totally different, would be stupid. It just would be, right? And the reason why is because he is the creator of the phone. He is the creator of the technology and how the phone works. So why in the world would you, a person who had, you weren't in the room with him, You weren't doing all the testing and all the beta testing and all that. You weren't doing any of that stuff, right? It was him and his people that were doing that. And then he came out with a product that everybody loves. Well, not everybody. There's some weird Android people out there. But anyways, oh, I hate green bubbles. Oh boy. Anyways, and if you know, you know. Oh, I might get some interesting texts on our text line 248-301-2010 on that one. But listen, right? When Steve Jobs, when he created the app, he created for a reason. He created it to, if you do this, then it does that, right? The technology says if you hit the button at the bottom, I mean, that's the older ones, but you know, had that round button at the bottom, you know, it used to, and then you could just click on that and it would just take you back to the home screen, right? It was programmed that way. You know, but if you try to alter that and do it a different way, you might not ever get back to the home screen. Why? Because it wasn't created to do that. And that's why we had to trust Steve Jobs and his team to do what they created, right? Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, God created you. You didn't create yourself. So there is no way for you to be able to fix yourself or to tell yourself what you should be doing. You need a manual. You need a someone else outside of you who created you to tell you what you should do, how you should live, where you should go, how you should look at life, right? See, we understand that in every other area of life, but when it comes to our life in Christ, we seem to want to take it and do it ourselves. And it's impossible. We will never be able to do what only God can do. This is why sanctification is so good. It's so good because it's like, think of it this way. We have in on the Apple phone, sorry, Android people, but I'm not talking about Androids. On the Apple phone, we have what we call the iOS system, right? It is the system that pretty much runs the phone. Right? That is the system that runs the phone, right? The system that runs your life once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior is sanctification. You get updates throughout your life. But if you never download those updates, if you never click on general and go to settings and look for an update, and if you never accept it, you will never, ever be the person that God has called you to be. You won't grow. You won't, you know, some of the security that we're looking for, right? And I wasn't thinking about using this analogy before I got on the air, but this is just what I feel like God is saying to me right now, right? When you have your phone in your hand and you're clicking and you're updating, right? You're updating that phone, and sometimes it's a security update. Sometimes it's a bug fix. Sometimes it's to enhance some of the features that you already have. Guys, that's just like our life with Christ. Sometimes it's an enhancement to who you are. God says, man, you've got this gift or you got this type of personality. I'm going to enhance that as you open yourself up to sanctification, right? Sometimes it's a security fix. Sometimes it's where God says, listen, these people that you've associated yourself with, right? Because you've been insecure. You know what? Those people are not good for you anymore. So I'm going to do a deep work in your heart, and you're not going to need or want those people like you did before. Why? Because you got a security upgrade. And remember what I said last week is that the issue is you see yourself as insecure. But the problem is that self-esteem, that's not godly esteem. Godly esteem makes you see yourself secure in Christ. And so when you see yourself secure in Christ, you don't need some of the people that you think that you need in your life right now, right? You get a security upgrade. And sometimes there's bug fixes, right? Sometimes there are things on your phone that does not work properly. And when you do the update, then it starts working better. It starts operating better. It doesn't crash. Apps don't crash on you, right? And when God, it's the same thing with God. When he begins to do the update in your life, and when he does the update in bug fixes, it takes out those things that are hindering you from becoming and operating as the person that God has called you to become. Man, I sense the power of the Holy Spirit right now. I do. I sense the power of the Holy Spirit in this show right now. Allow God, allow him to do the upgrade in your life. Allow God to do the upgrade in your life. And some of us are like how we treat our iPhones, right? And I know I've been guilty of this. There are certain things I like on the iPhone, and I hear somebody else, they upgraded theirs, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want that. You know, like the latest one, it's like the time is really big on the home screen. It's like, dude, why do I need the time that big? Like, I'm not blind. I can see the time, right? And I don't like it. And there's probably a way to change it. I don't know. I haven't looked it up or tried to figure it out, but I don't like it, right? And there are times that we sit on updates on our phones, and we know our phone needs to be updated, but we don't update it because we're like, oh, I heard that when you update it, it does this or that, or it changes this. And you're like, well, I'm just going to ride this thing out as long as I can without getting an update. Right? I'm just going to ride this thing out until I'm forced to update. And then that day comes when your phone starts, you know, your app starts crashing and your phone runs super slow or things are not going well. And then you are forced to upgrade. Well, that's the same way in our lives. Sometimes God is giving us the fixes and the upgrades along the way. But because we're like, oh, I know I need to upgrade in this area. I know I need to be better in this area. I know I need to forgive people more. And I know I need to do this. And I need, you know that, but you sit and allow yourself to just not pay attention to that because you're like, I'm not going to be able to use my phone for a while. Right. You know, because I'm going to have to wait for it to restart and do all the things. And I don't want to do that. That's how we do with our lives sometimes. Right. We're just going to, I know I need an upgrade, but I'm just going to let it sit there for a while. But see, the problem is when you let it sit for a while, when you let it sit for a while, what ends up happening is now you've got to upgrade. And in our lives, sometimes God wants to work certain things out throughout our lives. But sometimes, guess what happens? A force upgrade is made by something tragic happening or dramatic happening in our lives. And then that gets our attention. And then we go, okay, God, I'll upgrade. Okay, God, I hear you. I see you. I know I need to do better in this, or I know I need to be this or that. You know that, right? And then something has to happen to get your attention. That's not how God wants it to be. God wants to work this sanctification, this process of changing your heart and your mind and you becoming more like him. He wants to do it incrementally throughout your life so that you don't have to hit a tragic moment. Now, it doesn't mean that tragedy won't happen. That's not what I'm saying here. Tragedy will still happen. But listen, a lot of times, if you have followed this process of sanctification before tragedy even happens, even when tragedy happens, you'll be able to deal with it better. Sanctification is not a passive thing. It's an intentional thing. And one of the things that I told the Bible class on Tuesday night is that one of the reasons why people can never be the truly walk in the place where God has called them to walk into is because we're too busy. We're so busy, and none of us have intentional enough lives. We don't live intentionally enough and on purpose enough for things to change in our lives. We have to slow down for us to actually realize that there's a problem, or realize that there is an upgrade, or realize that there is something that needs to change. This, my friends, is the process of sanctification. It's not rules. It's not, oh, I'm going to make myself better, because guess what? The Bible even says that when we're weak, God is strong. When we acknowledge the fact that we're not it and that we're not the solution, and we actually acknowledge that he is, that's when he can step in. Right? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Most gladly, Paul says here, "Therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses." Who says that? Especially a man. Who says that? That's how you... Listen, this is how you know that's the work of the Holy Spirit that's speaking through him, right? He says, "Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we acknowledge our weakness, this is when God can move in and do what only he can do. Sanctification, the process of becoming more like Jesus, is supernatural, not natural. Because it's not supernatural, or because it's not natural, because it's not natural, that's why sanctification is not limited by our personality, right? That idea that, well, that's just who I am. Oh, that's just who I am. Like, I that's how I grew up. Well, my dad was like that. My mom's like that. So I'm like that. My mom had a temper. My dad had a temper. So I have a temper. Well, that might be true, but sanctification comes to crush that. Because, see, it's not about you trying not to have a temper. It's about Christ coming in and changing you as a person, right? Right? It's him changing you, not you changing you. Because you're not going to be able to do it. Have you ever seen somebody go to anger management classes? They come out, they're still angry, right? People, they're still throwing stuff. They're still punching walls. Right? The drywall still has holes in it from where they punched the walls, and they've been through anger management training. Why? Because you can't do it in and of yourself. It takes the Holy Spirit to do it. It takes the process of God changing your mind and changing your heart for you to change in these areas of our lives. So sanctification, because it's supernatural, not natural, it's not limited to your personality. It's also not limited to your life experiences, right? Well, that's just how I, you know, or your upbringing. Well, that's just how I was raised, you know, in my neighborhood and in my environment and in how I was. And, you know, back in my day, this is how it was. Well, that's fine. That's okay. Whether bad or good, that's okay, because God has come by the way of sanctification to change that, right? It doesn't matter that was your upbringing. It also means that sanctification isn't limited to obedience that involves actions without heart. Yeah, so, you know, sanctification will change our minds to where we, when we do something and we're actually doing it's from a pure place. It's not just us doing something because we're obeying something. We're doing it because God has changed our hearts to where we want to do it. This process of sanctification, you have to understand, it's complex. It's complex. You're not going to see it with your naked eye. You're just not. It's a supernatural work inside of you. This is why I have such a hard time with denominations or preachers or teachers or whatever who focus on the external when it comes to sanctification. If you focus on the external of what people wear, where people go, what your hair looks like, whether you should wear makeup or not, whether you should wear jewelry or not, and all of that kind of stuff. If that is your idea of sanctification, you've completely missed it by 300 million light years. You're not even in the same stratosphere. You've totally missed it because it is an inside work, not an outside work. And I promise you, and you'll say, well, yeah, we tell people that it's an inside work that works its way on the outside. Here's the problem. Most of the people who are following that theology really subconsciously believe it's the outside stuff that sets them apart when it's not. Right? And if you're listening to me and you're part of that type of domination, please understand my heart goes out to you. I've been a part of that stuff. Guys, it's not about that. And I don't want you to get stuck in rules and rituals thinking that somehow your dress or your appearance or your hair length or your whatever means that you're more special to God, or you're closer to God now, or things are okay, because the process of sanctification, my friend, is not on the outside. He's asking you to change on the inside. Because you're not going to change the world with what's on the outside. You are only going to change the world with what's on the inside. It's your heart that you change the world with. It's your soul that you change the world with. Your soul that's right with God. And it's not right with God based on rules. It's not right with God based on things on the outside. It's not right with God based on all of these things. And if you read Romans and some of the other New Testament scriptures, Paul harps over and over and over and over and over again about the Jewish law and circumcision and all of that, and how Christ came. And we don't need to do all of these things to make us right or closer to God. And I feel like this is what I'm having to reiterate here on the show today, because I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Sanctification is supernatural. I pray that as we continue to go through this series, and I love your feedback, guys. I really do. I really would. I love your feedback. If this is a help to you, if you can resonate with any of this, would you drop us a line? Would you text us at 248-301-2010? 248-301-2010. And I appreciate every single one of you that listen every single week. And I appreciate all of our donors, because you know what? If it wasn't for those few people who give every single month to the show, you would not be listening to this show. And if for some reason you want to give, and I'm going to tell you right now, my desire is to share the gospel. Whether you give or whether you don't give, I will find a way to share the gospel. Guys, that's all I care about. That's all I want. I just want us as Christians to be what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do. I know we can do it, but we let's do it together. Let's help each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's strengthen each other. That's what we're here. That's part of why we're here, to strengthen each other. That's part of why. It's not the main reason, but it's part of the reason. So let's do that. And if you never give another dime to this show, I want you to know that I will fulfill the Great Commission, because I believe so strongly that God wants us to just be those people that he's called us to be. And I know we can do it. And I appreciate every single one of you. Listen, and don't forget to go on to all of the places, any place that you listen to our show, go ahead and rate and review us, guys. That just means the world to us. It also helps us to come up faster when people search for shows like ours. So if it's Apple, Google Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon, all the places, right? Go ahead and follow us so you don't miss anything, but also let us know by rating and reviewing us what you think. And again, 248-301-2010. If you're resonating with any of this, text us. Let us know. We love you guys. God bless you. And we are now on our regularly every other Wednesday schedule. And so you won't hear an episode next Wednesday, but the following Wednesday you will, as we continue our series on sanctification. Love you guys so much.